سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة الأحباء، هذا هو اليوم الأخير في هذا اللقاء المبارك، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن تكونوا قد ازددتم علما، وازددتم يقينا بما أنتم عليه من المنهج الصحيح، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يزيدنا ثباتا على الصراط المستقيم. إخوتي في الله، إن الإنسان يتلقى العلم لا ليزيد معلوماته، ولا لينمي ثقافته، ولا ليتفضل المجالس أو يقرن اسمه بالعلماء أو يتكبر على العامة، وإنما يتلقى العلم لأن العلم نور يكشف له ظلمات المجهول، وتستبين له سبيل المؤمنين، فيسير على بصيرة من ربه وعلى بينة من منهجه. ولذلك فعليه أن ينتفع هو بالعلم قبل أن ينفع الآخرين، فلا يحمل الخير وهو فاقده، ولا يحمل النجاة وهو يبحث عنها. فقد مثل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي يعلم الناس الخير والبر وينسى نفسه كالسراج يضيء ويحرق نفسه. وهذا من مثل بني إسرائيل كما قصه الله علينا في كتابه: أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون؟ فأول أمر ينبغي أن نخرج به بعد أن توضحت لنا الأمور واستبانت مثل الشمس وضوحا، أن نعمل بهذا العلم، أن نحمل هذه الدعوة، أن نثنى لتحيا دعوة السلف الصالح. ثم لا ننسى أن نكون أرحم الخلق بالخلق، نشفق على المخالف، نشفق عليه لننقذه من الظلمات إلى النور، نشفق عليه ليعود إلى عرينه الأول. فإن أهل البدع تخطفوا هؤلاء منا، وهؤلاء الأصل فيهم أن يكونوا على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله وعلى فهم سلف الأمة. إذن هؤلاء الذين هم في أيدي المبتدعة هم أخوان لنا أثرهم أهل البدع، فيجب علينا أن نفك العاني، أن نرجعهم بالحجة، نرجعهم بالرحمة، نرجعهم بالتلطف، ندعوهم بالتي هي أحسن للتي هي أقوم. ولا ننسى أنفسنا أحبائي في الله، لا يمكن أن تقوم بهذه الدعوة قائمة إلا إذا أصلحنا إخوانا متحابين صفا متراصا. فقد أوصانا الله سبحانه وتعالى بالحق، وأوصانا بالصبر، وأوصانا بالمرحمة، وجعل ذلك صفة الفرقة الناجية المستثناء من الخسران. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. آمنوا ثم عملوا بأنفسهم ثم تواصوا بالحق، وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. ثم قال وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة كما في سورة البلد. فلابد أن تؤمن بالله وبرسوله وبكتابه وبهذه الدعوة المباركة وتعمل بها وتقوم على الحق حراسة وثباتا وتدعو إخوانك للصبر عليه يظلل ذلك كله رحمة وعطف وتواد وتراحم لنصبح جسدا واحدا حيا متحركا يبعث في الأمة أملا جديدا بأن الإسلام قادم كما يأتي الفجر بعد الظلام المدلهم. أرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما اصطفانا له وأن يثبتنا عليه حتى نلقاه وحتى يحشرنا في زمرة الحبيب المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. الشيخ أبو أسامة, you want to say, إخوان, my beloved, dear, respected brothers, today is the last day in the meeting that we have come together for, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of you have increased yourselves in knowledge, and all of you have been increased in clarity or in assurity or the yaqeen as it relates to the minhaj that is sahih and correct. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish all of us firmly upon the sirat al-mustaqim. He went on to say that the person, he does not acquire knowledge, search for knowledge, have the talaqqi for knowledge, except he does not do so in order to merely increase his information or to cause his knowledge to glow and to shine or to be mentioned along with the people of knowledge like the ulama, nor does he seek to gain knowledge in order to be foremost in the sitting with the people, but instead he tries to acquire knowledge in an attempt to get the light, the nur, that will enable him to take the zalam or the darkness away from in front of him, so that he can go about his business and travel on his journey with the basira, with knowledge and clarity, so that he can seek to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the minhaj, with the bayyina, or with that which is supported by proof. He said, it is no success, nor does it make sense to carry what will make you successful, and najat, and to carry the religion of knowledge, and yet we do not work by that which we are saying that we are attempting to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he has given the example and the similitude of that individual, and that he had referred to him like the candle who gives off light, but yet he burns within himself and he harms his own self. He benefits others, but he himself is not benefited. And Allah ta'ala also has given us an example of those people when he talked about them and he rebuked them. And these people are the people who are from Bani Israel, when Allah ta'ala said to them, do you order the people to do the ma'ruf, to do what is right, and you forget your own selves? Do you order the people to do what is right and you forget your own selves while you are reading the book? Do you not reflect? Do you not use your aql or your intellect? After that, the Shaykh said, so therefore, we should carry the responsibility of learning, and carry the responsibility of practicing, and carry the responsibility of being upon the religion, and calling to al-Islam in order to make some samara, in order to leave some fruit, to have some benefit of what we do. He said that there's something that we also should not forget, and that is, we should not forget to be the most merciful of the creation upon the creation, that we have to be merciful and easy going, and we have to have lower the wing of humility upon the mukhalif, or the person who is not on the same thing that you are upon. You should feel sorry for the individual, sorry in a way where you have this shafaqah on him, where you feel bad about his situation, where you see it as an obligation to return him back to the correct way, and not to deal with the people in a rough manner, as it relates to the people who are being affected by the people of deviance. The Ahlul Bid'ah has taken a lot of people, and they've grabbed them and they brought them inside of their circles. Those people are being brought in those circles. They deserve and they have a right that we try to save them, and we call them with a way that is nice and easy. Why? Because they are our brothers and we are brothers to them. This is how we deal with the one who the Shaykh termed as the Ammi, or the person who is just the normal, regular, general Muslim. It is an incumbent duty upon you to return him back to the truth, to return him to the truth, not with a tough way, but with the hujjah, with the argument, and with rahmah, having mercy upon him, and with the talaqtuf, or having, being kind to that individual. And we also should do that with what is best, with what is aqwam, with what is most appropriate. I want to inform you, brothers, that this da'wah will not have a presence, and it will not have any qa'imah. It will not be have its presence unless we understand the principle that we are brothers in this religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the wasiyah. He has left us the legacy, or the command, or the advice, that we should mutually cooperate with each other as brothers, and the cooperation should be based upon rahmah, and the cooperation should be based upon having mutual sabr, and mutually inviting and encouraging each other to have this patience. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, by the Asr time, by the Asr time he swore, verily mankind is in a state of loss, except those people who believe and they do righteous deeds, and they mutually invite and encourage each other to be on the truth, and they mutually invite each other to be patient, to have sabr. So how is the da'wah going to have a presence if we're not practicing this mutual invitation to each other of being upon the truth and of inviting each other to be patient? So the people should have iman. We should believe, and then we should do the righteous deeds, and then we have the tawafi, or the mutual advising each other with the haq and the sabr. And Allah Ta'ala said in the Naba ayah, because in Surah Al-Asr, he said mutually invite each other with the haq and with sabr. And in another surah, Surah Al-Balad, Allah Ta'ala informed the people to mutually invite each other with the rahmah and the sabr, with the marhamah and the sabr. So the Shaykh was explaining that we have to be brothers, and we have to look at everyone as a brother, so that our da'wah can be for Allah, and that our da'wah can be towards shedding light on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, encouraging each other to be patient upon following and practicing and learning and seeking both of these two divinely revealed sources, with rahmah and ataf, with mercy and kindness towards each other, so that we can once again become a body, or resemble the body of one man. And we can send forth, when this becomes our description, we can send forth in the ummah that which will benefit the ummah and the people of the ummah.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أيها الإخوة، لقد عشنا هذه الأيام القليلة حياة إيمانية، لقد عشنا أياما هي من أيام الله عز وجل، لأن هذه الأيام التي عشناها جميعا تذكرنا بائتلاف السلف واجتماع السلف على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وتذكرنا في أخوة الله ومحبة الله، علينا أيها الإخوة أن نتذكر أن من أعظم نعم الله عز وجل على المسلمين عموما وعلى المسلمين في هذه البلاد خصوصا ما من الله عز وجل عليهم بنعمة الإسلام، بينما السواد الأعظم يتخبطون في الظلمات. ومن نعم الله الخاص عليكم أيها الإخوة ما اختصكم الله به من المنهج الصحيح من الهداية إلى الكتاب والسنة ومنهج سلف الأمة، فعليكم أيها الإخوة أن تخلصوا دينكم لله وأن تستقيموا على منهج الله وأن تستقيموا على هذه الدعوة المباركة، الدعوة التي ورثها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه ثم لأمته. هذه الدعوة السلفية، دعوة الكتاب والسنة ومنهج سلف الأمة، هي التي تحيا بها القلوب وتستقيم بها العقول وتعتدل بها المناهج. ولذلك أوصيكم إخواني بتقوى الله، فتقوى الله هي ملاك كل خير، والله عز وجل يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. ووصية الله عز وجل للأولين والآخرين هي تقوى الله، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله. فعلينا جميعا أن نتقي الله، وقد قالها الله لنبيه يا أيها النبي اتق الله، فليس أحد منا غنيا عن التقوى وليس أحد منا إلا وهو بأمس الحاجة إلى تقوى الله عز وجل. وعلينا أيها الإخوة أن نصلح ذات بيننا وأن لا نكون سخرية للآخرين وأن لا نشمت بنا أعداء الله. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو إصلاح أو مع إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. وقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن فساد ذات البين هي الحالقة التي تحلق الدين لا تحلق الشعر، وأنتم في هذه البلاد الكافرة أحوج ما تكونون إلى أن تجتمعوا على كلمة سواء، إلى أن تجتمعوا على كلمة التوحيد وتوحدوا صفوفكم وتكونوا إخوة متحابين، لأن الله عز وجل ألف بين قلوبكم برابطة الأخوة الإسلامية. فينبغي أيها الإخوة أن نكون متحدين معتصمين بحبل الله كما قال الله عز وجل واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. واعلموا أن التفرق في الدين من شعار المشركين لا من علامات الموحدين ولا من شعارات الموحدين. قال الله تعالى ولا تكونوا من المشركين من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. وقال جل جلاله ولا يزالون مختلفين إلا من رحم. فالاتفاق في الدين والائتلاف في الدين سبب لرحمة الله، والتفرق في الدين سبب لبعد رحمة الله. وأهل التوحيد يتحدون على كلمة التوحيد. كذلك أيها الإخوة أنصحكم ألا تشتغلوا بخلافات العلماء، وإنما تتركوها لأهل العلم، لأنهم هم أدرى وأعلم، وهذا ميدانهم وهم فرسانه. عليكم أن تشتغلوا بإصلاح أنفسكم، وأن ترجعوا إلى العلماء فيما أشكل عليكم. أما أن تقولوا فلان وفلان وفلان، فهذا يعيق سيركم إلى الله عز وجل ويسبب لكم المتاعب. اتركوا خلافات العلماء للعلماء، علماء هذه الدعوة المباركة، فهم الذين يفصلون بها. واسترشدوا بآراء العلماء الربانيين الراسخين في العلم من علماء الإسلام الذين شهد لهم أو شهد لهم أهل العلم بصحة المعتقد وسلامة المنهج وحسن الخلق. فلا ينبغي للمبتدئين في الطلب أو للمبتدئين في الإسلام أن يشتغلوا بالخلافيات، لأن هذا يشغب عليهم ويشوش عليهم. فنحترم العلماء ولا نخوض في أعراضهم، خصوصا من كان على المنهج السلفي الصحيح، فهؤلاء لحومهم مسمومة وعادة الله في منتقصهم معلومة، كما قال الحافظ ابن عساكر رحمه الله. وتذكروا قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: طوبى لمن شغله عيبه عن عيوب الناس. وكونوا أيها الإخوة رحماء فيما بينكم، فهذه خصيصة أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما قال الله عز وجل: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. ومن لا يرحم لا يرحم. وأمة الإسلام رحمة على الخلق أجمعين حتى على الحيوانات، فعلينا أن نرحم بعضنا بعضا، وأن يرحم أحدنا الآخر، وأن نظهر التواضع لإخواننا وخفض الجناح، فمن تواضع لله رفعه الله. وعليكم أيها الإخوة وأنتم تعيشون في ديار الكفر أن تكونوا قدوة حسنة لإخوانكم ولأعدائكم. فالمسلم ينبغي، وخصوصا السلفي، ينبغي أن يتميز بأخلاقه وبسلوكه وبمعاملته وبمواقفه وبعقيدته وبمنهجه. ينبغي أن يكون متميزا وأن يكون على خلق عظيم، ولقد كان نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم على خلق عظيم، فتشبهوا بأخلاق نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن الرجل يدرك بحسن خلقه درجة قائم الليل وصائم النهار. وقد سئلت أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها عن أخلاق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقالت: كان خلقه القرآن. فينبغي من كل واحد منكم أن يتمثل وأن يتسم وأن يتصف بالأخلاق الإسلامية وبالأخلاق النبوية وبالأخلاق القرآنية، ليكون مشعل هداية، وليكون مصباح هدى ومنارة دجى. والقدوة الحسنة أيها الإخوة من أفضل السبل لهداية الكافرين واستقامة المنحرفين من المسلمين. وأحذركم من التنازع والتفرق، فإن الله عز وجل يقول: ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم. فإذا تنازعتم طمع فيكم أعداؤكم وشمت منكم خصومكم. كما أوصي إخواني أن يهتموا بأبنائهم وبناتهم ونسائهم، لأنهم أمانة في أعناقهم، خصوصا في هذه الديار. المرأة مستهدفة، والطفل مستهدف، والأسرة مستهدفة. فالذين ألجأتهم الظروف القاهرة للإقامة في هذه البلاد فعليهم أن يحافظوا على أنفسهم وعلى أبنائهم وبناتهم وهويتهم، ويعملوا بقول الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. فاتقوا الله في نسائكم وفي بناتكم خصوصا، فقد أوصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المرأة وهو على فراش الموت. المرأة خصوصا المرأة المسلمة مستهدفة، يراد إفسادها، ويراد منها ألا ترد يد لامس، يراد منها أن تخلع جلبابها وحجابها وأن تخرج على حيائها ودينها وعفتها. ولذلك يجب عليكم أن تنشئوا مؤسسات تعليمية خاصة بكم، تربوا أبناءكم على العقيدة الصحيحة والمنهج الصحيح وأخلاق السلف الصالحين، حتى لا تذوبوا في المجتمعات الكافرة، لأن السيل عارم والأمواج عاتية، وإلا فيجب عليكم أن تعملوا على الهجرة إلى بلاد إسلامية تؤدون فيها حق الله وتأمنون فيها على عقيدتكم وإسلامكم وعلى أبنائكم ونسائكم. ينبغي أيها الإخوة أن تنصروا إخوانكم السلفيين في هذه البلاد الذين يديرون المؤسسات السلفية، ينبغي أن تنصروهم بالمال ماديا ومعنويا وما يحتاجون إليه، لأن هذا واجب شرعي عليكم، لأن هذه المؤسسات إنما تقوم بكم وبأمثالكم. ولا نتوقع من بدعي أو حزبي أو مخرف أن يأتي لينشئ صرحا سلفيا في هذه الديار أو في غيرها. وعليكم أيها الإخوة أن تسمعوا لنصائح إخوانكم من الشيوخ وطلاب العلم السلفيين الذين يفيدون إليكم، وأن تسمعوا إلى توجيهاتهم ونصائحهم، وأن تظلوا على علاقة طيبة معهم فيما يستجد من أمور حياتكم ومعاشكم ومعادكم. هذه بعض الأمور التي انقدحت في نفسي رأيت أن أنصح فيها إخواني في الله. فالدين النصيحة، قيل لمن يا رسول الله؟ قال: لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. فهذا واجب علينا، ونحن قد جئناكم من بلاد بعيدة حبا في الله ورغبة فيما عند الله، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا وإياكم في الجنة على سرر متقابلين كما جمعنا في الدنيا على محبته وطاعته، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
Okay, Ikhwan, the Sheikh Abu Anas, he went on to say that we have lived in the past few days that were very few in number, in actuality, and we have lived the living of Al-Iman in these past few days that we've been together. They are the days of Allah, or the Ayamullah, because all of these days, without an exception, was designed to remind each other collectively about what our righteous predecessors were upon, and how we can draw from the well of resources that they left behind in order to nastabeen the way, or get clarity on our own way. So we have advised each other and we've reminded each other So alhamdulillah for being brothers for Allah. We have to remember ikhwan. That is a ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala that He imtanna alayna, or He gave us His ni'mah. He gave us His favor upon the Muslims in general, everywhere. But He favored the Muslims in this country specifically because He has put you on the proper way. He has singled you brothers out and specifically made you on the minhaj that is correct, or searching for the minhaj that is correct. Whereas when we look at the sawad al-a'zam, at the overwhelming majority of the people in the creation, they are living in zulumat, in darkness. So therefore we should be thankful to Allah, each and every one of us as individuals. And in being thankful, we should increase our ikhlas, or our sincerity, and we should increase our efforts to have the istiqamah on the minhaj that is authentic and correct and sahih, to have the be upright, to have the istiqamah on that minhaj. And we should increase our efforts in giving dawah in order to share this good with others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has left as an inheritance this blessed minhaj to his companions and to everyone from the ummah who wants to take it. This minhaj is the minhaj that will give life to the hearts that are dead, and it will give refreshment and energize and rejuvenate the intellect that may be dull. And it also will give the i'tidal, or establish in truth and justice the way that the life should be. So therefore, ikhwan, along these lines, I advise all of you with the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because in the taqwa of Allah is all the good. He went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, showing the importance of the taqwa, O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and do not die except as a Muslim. And this was the wafiyah, or the legacy, or the advice that Allah Ta'ala left for the first people and the last people. When He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, rectify the problem that you suffer from between yourselves. This is what we have left, and we have advised as a wasiyah to the people who are given the book before you and unto you, that they should have taqwa of Allah. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah. So if Allah Ta'ala is ordering the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have taqwa, it clearly shows us that no one from amongst us is not in need of, or he is above being advised with taqwa, or that he should struggle to obtain a taqwa and to be of the companions of a taqwa. No, instead, all of us have a dire and a sincere, a serious need to have this taqwa. So the brothers, we have to make the islah between ourselves. We have to rectify that which exists between ourselves. And we cannot afford, nor should we allow ourselves to be the sukhriya of the other people. We can't allow ourselves to be the brunt of the jokes of other people from amongst our enemies when they look at our condition, and we're fighting between ourselves and we have problems between ourselves. The Shaykh went on to say the ayat in the Quran in which Allah Ta'ala talked about the condition of the people who fight amongst themselves. He said there is no good in the najwa that they have, in the secret
meetings that they have offline. They leave the people and they talk offline and they have secret meetings with themselves. Allah Ta'ala said, there is no good in the secret meetings that they have except when they order with sadaqah. And they order with what is ma'ruf. And they order with al-islah. So if people have problems with themselves and they're not seeking to do these things, then there's no good in what they're doing. The Shaykh went on to say, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us the danger of these problems that we have. When he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the fasad, the evil that comes as a result of the problems that we have, it is that which cuts. It is a razor. And he said, I am not talking about the razor that cuts your hair, but I'm talking about the razor that will cut and destroy the religion. This will be the benefit and the ill effect of such behavior. So here in this country, we need it most to be united. Brothers who are united upon a tawheed, who collectively love each other. Our condition does not allow for us to be on other than that. He went on to say, Ikhwan, that Allah Ta'ala has given the ta'leef between our hearts. He has brought our hearts together and He has united them. How? With the rabit of al-Islam. He has done so, and the thing that brings us together collectively is the religion of al-Islam. He said in the Quran, and hold on to the rope of Allah all together and do not be divided amongst yourselves. So this tafarruq, or this division that we see prevailing in the land and running rampant, it is not from anyone other than the disbelievers and the way of the kuffar. And it is not from the religion of al-Islam. It has no presence in the religion of al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and do not be from the mushrikeen, those people who divide themselves, and they are Shia, they are different groups, each group being happy and rejoicing in what it has and what it is upon. In another ayah, Allah Ta'ala said, and they will not cease to be muhtalifin. They will not cease to be divided amongst themselves except those who Allah has rahmah on. Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, we understand from this that the ittilaf, when the hearts come together, this is from the rahmah of Allah based upon the last ayah. They will not cease to be muhtalifin, the people, except those who Allah has rahmah on. So the rahmah, he is saying now, the ittilaf, coming together, is from the rahmah of Allah. And the opposite of that, the ikhtilaf, and making people apart, is from being far away from Allah and from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of the tawheed and the people of the right minhaj and the people of knowledge, they are the people who see the need to be together, and they work towards that effort. Brothers in Islam, do not busy yourselves with the ikhtilaf even of the ulama. The scholars who differ amongst themselves about issues, don't let yourself and allow yourself to become busy with those types of issues and discussions to the point where it diverts you from the primary goal and objective. Leave the issues of ikhtilaf to the ulama. They are the most knowledgeable people of those affairs and most capable and competent to deal with those affairs to get the beneficial results. Return to the ulama for your affairs and the issues that you differ in. Return and raise your issues up to the people of knowledge. You will not go wrong. If you brothers continue or begin to busy yourselves with each other, to busy yourselves with the ikhtilaf of the ulama, then it is going to do nothing but serve as a diversion and make you distracted from the true goal and objective. And then the Shaykh went on to say, get the irshad, the istirshad, seek the guidance of the opinions, or from the opinions of the scholar. Do your level best to find out what is it that the scholars say concerning this issue and that issue. So seek your guidance in the opinions of the scholars, those scholars who have true religion, those scholars who have knowledge, those scholars who are on the proper minhaj and who are on the proper aqidah. For verily you will find in them that there is not much difference amongst them, differing amongst them. It is not befitting, nor is it acceptable, nor is it consistent with what is intelligent for a beginner in the religion, or a person who doesn't have a lot of knowledge, to busy himself with these issues. You must busy yourselves with the fundamentals of the religion and the foundation of the religion, so that you can make yourself a better person. And stay away, and I repeat, stay away from the honor of the scholars by criticizing the scholars and talking about the scholars, because the meat, the flesh of the scholars is poison. As the scholar of Islam, Ibn Asakir, said, Rahimullah Ta'ala. Brothers, we want you to remember the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and this is advice. He said, Tuba, or the paradise, will be for the person who becomes busy with his own situation at the expense of becoming busy with the uyub, or the faults of the people. The person who becomes busy with his own faults and deficiencies will get the paradise. The one who becomes busy with his own situation, his deficiencies, at the expense of busying himself with the faults of the other people. So in essence, what he was saying was, don't busy yourself with the people and forget about yourself. And Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and those people who are with him, radiallahu anhum, those people who are with him are rough and tough against the kuffar, and they are merciful towards one another and upon one another. And whoever does not give out mercy, who is not merciful to others, mercy will not be shown upon him. So Allah Ta'ala, ikhwan, he has given us Islam. And this Islam is a trust. And the people of Islam are merciful amongst themselves. They are merciful to each other. They're even merciful to the animals. So with that being the case, it only makes sense that we are merciful to our brothers. Let us be those people who are humble towards our brothers, and we lower the wing of humility and the wing of assistance to our brothers. For verily the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in speaking about the virtues of humility, being humble, whoever humbles himself for Allah's cause, for Allah, Allah will raise him in stature and honor. Another thing that I would advise all of you with is that, as you've heard on numerous occasions, we have to be examples. We have to be examples for our brothers, and we have to be examples even for our enemies. The Muslim who is Salafi, more than anyone else, it is expected that he is mutamayyiz. He is different from everyone else. He sets himself apart and distinct in his behavior. It is clearly identified. He's different in his suluk, in his behavior. He's different in his khuluk, in his character. He is different and apart from the other people in his ta'amun, the way he works and deals with the people. And he's different in his minhaj, and in his aqidah, and in his understanding. This is how the Prophet was, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He stood far and above the people in his behavior. And I say unto you, and please understand, that a man who has good character, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man who has good character will be able to reach a level that a man, he will be able to reach the level of the one who prays the night and the day, even if he's not a person who prays all night and all the day. He'll be able to get that station. She said, verily his character was the Quran. So all of us, we have to struggle in order to inculcate within ourselves a character that is the character of the Quran. That is the character of the Prophet, or the character of prophecy, what he brought. We have to be beacons of light that give clarity to the creation. The Sheikh, he went on to say, good character, brothers, is one of the best ways, one of the best sabils, one of the best ways to call to the da'wah. And I warn all of you, I warn you again, I repeat and I reiterate, I warn you not to fight amongst yourselves. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and do not make this tanazur, do not fight each other and be in conflict with each other. For verily, if you do so, your power will go away. The Sheikh said, if you were to do it and your power went away, then you put yourselves in a vulnerable position to be dealt with effectively by your enemy. And I give you advice to pay attention, to be attentive towards your family, towards your children, towards your wives. For verily, these affairs, the women, the children, and the family unit, all of them are mustahdafa, meaning that they have been made a goal, that the kuffar are trying to destroy those three institutions, your women, your children, and your family. They are mustahdafa. People are out to destroy them. He said that in this place, those of you who have come here to this country and you're not from here, then all of you, I advise all of you with the statement of Allah, O you who believe, save yourselves and save your families from the hellfire. He says, fear Allah as it relates to your daughters. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was on his deathbed, and he gave a number of advices to the community, all of which were tantamount, or they were paramount in importance. And he said to the people to do well by the women. So pay attention and fear Allah as it relates to your banat. Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, these people want the Muslim woman. Every time a hand that is lamisa, every time it goes out to touch her, they want the Muslim woman to accept and to embrace that hand, to accommodate it and to allow it to touch her. They want the Muslim woman to come out of her jilbab, to come out of her Islamic dress. They want her to lose her iffah, or her being a woman who has some self-respect. She's not a whore, a lewd woman. She's the opposite of that. She is afifa. She is virtuous. They want her to lose her virtue. He said, we have to develop for ourselves some mu'assasat, some Islamic foundation. Islamic foundations, like a foundation, like a building. We have to develop for ourselves Islamic foundations in order to teach the tarbiyah of al-Islam, the Islamic training, to our families and ourselves. Foundations that are upon the minhaj, that is sahih, so that we can learn collectively. Sheikh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, the ways that destroy, they are in the front. They are in the future, inshallah. And they are compounded, and they are deep in what they contain of evil. And they are pinned in, they are coming. So therefore, those of you who can, I advise you to try to make the hijrah, so that you can leave this place, that it is difficult, that does not help and assist on worshiping Allah. Leave this place so that you can give the haq of Allah to Allah, and so that you can give the haq of your wives to them, and so that you can give the haq that your children have over you to them. I give you all advice as it relates to the people who are responsible for these foundations and these Islamic institutions. He said, I give you advice that you should support them, that you should make donations to them and for them, because these things are for you. He went on to say, we don't want to see, because of our lack of support, someone who is munharif, someone who is not Salafi, to come claiming to be Salafi or claiming to want good. He builds a foundation, and because we didn't support our foundation, the other foundation is supported, and as a result of that, they take the people on that which isn't accepted, that which is from Islam. So brothers, pay attention. Pay attention to the shiuch when they come to you, and they come to give advice, and they come to help you to deal with the new affairs, the new issues, the issues that are contemporary, the issues of the era, the issues of the time. Many of us, we don't have the knowledge to deal with these issues, so the people of knowledge come to help. Listen and take the advice, for verily the deen is nasiha. They said, nasiha to who? O Messenger of Allah. He said, the deen is nasiha to Allah, or the deen is sincerity to Allah, and sincerity to His book, and sincerity to His messenger, and sincerity to the imams of the Muslims, the leaders, and sincerity to the common folk. So the religion is giving advice, and the religion is being sincere to those five. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, my brothers who I love, for Allah, for your information, the shuyukh, the students of knowledge, we come here to assist. We come here for the love of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, and for love of you, to mutually cooperate. We come from far places to seek the pleasure of Allah. So we ask Allah, and he went on to make a series of dua in which he asked Allah to firmly establish us and to give us the good upon this truth.
أيها الأخوة، أيها الأخوة، لا بد أن ننبه على مسألة مهمة، وهي متعلقة بمنهج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تلقي العلم. هذه المسألة، وهي أن المستمع ينبغي أن يتفرغ بكليته للمتكلم، وألا ينشغل بأمر آخر. ويدل على هذا حديث كثيرة من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أولا قول النبي لابن عباس، يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات، يعني انتبه لهذه الكلمات. ويدل عليها خطبة النبي في حجة الوداع عندما قال لأحد الصحابة، استنصت الناس، أي جعلهم يستمعوا. وقول معاذ رضي الله عنه عندما قال النبي ولم ينتبه الناس لكلامه، فقال ألا تسمعون لكلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمن أدب تلقي العلم أن تستمع للمتكلم. الحقيقة أنا لاحظت بعض الأخوة عفى الله عنا وعنهم ينشغلون بتوزيع بعض الأوراق، وهذا أوراق طيبة، كلها طيبة إن شاء الله، وأخوة آخرون ينشغلون بقراءة هذه الأوراق. فما جعل الله لرجل من قلبين في جوفه. فأرجو أن تحيوا هذه السنة، سنة تلقي العلم، بأن تتفرغ وأن تسمع لكي تنتفع، وإلا أنت مشغول بقراءة كتاب أو مشغول بتوزيع صحيفة أو مشغول بالكلام مع جارك، فكيف تسمع وكيف تنتفع؟ أرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقني وإياكم لإحياء سنن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Well, إخوان، الشيخ أبو أسامة may Allah preserve him, he went on to say, there is an issue that is very important here that I want to mention, and it is an issue that is connected to the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to obtaining knowledge. And that is that the person who is listening, you brothers, the one who is listening to the one who is speaking and teaching and imparting knowledge, it is absolutely incumbent upon him to become mutafarriq, to become totally attentive to what's being said, and not to busy himself with other peripheral issues. That the one who is listening to the teacher, he has to make himself attentive and not become busy with side issues. And this proof, this point, comes in many hadith of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like with what happened with Mu'adh, with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "O young man, I'm going to teach you some words." In that statement, "I'm going to teach you some words," it was equivalent to saying, "Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Pay attention." It comes to us in the khutbah that the Prophet gave sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his farewell address. When he was about to talk, the people were speaking. So when he got ready to talk, he said to his companions, "Make the people quiet. Some of you make the others quiet so that they'll pay attention." And one time he was with his companions and they were talking, and he was talking, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, upon noticing that, he did what the Shaykh just did, jazahullahu khairah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal said to the people, "Won't you people listen to the kalam of the Messenger of Allah? Won't you pay attention?" So the Shaykh went on to say, it is not from the correct adab, it is not from the good behavior of the student of knowledge to become distracted like that. So therefore I, the Shaykh Abu Usama said, I have witnessed right here, some of you people are passing out papers, some of you people are reading papers, reading magazines. Should we not take this as an opportunity to give life to the sunnah of listening to what's being said? He said Allah Ta'ala, and he mentioned the ayah of the Quran, Allah has not put in a single man's body, he hasn't put in a man's body two hearts. Meaning, you can't be listening to him and doing something somewhere else. He went on to say, so listen so that you'll get some benefit, and stop reading your papers and passing out your papers and your magazines.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد أفاد وأجاد إخواني الشيخ أبو أسامة سليم ابن عيد الهلالي حفظه الله تعالى، والشيخ أبو أنس محمد ابن موسى آل نصر حفظه الله تعالى، واستفاض في الحديث عن النصائح التي فتح الله سبحانه وتعالى بها عليهما في هذا المقام لإخوانهم الذين حضروا من كل مكان، حتى إن بعضهم جاء من بلدان أخرى قطعوا المسافات ويعني تحملوا المشاق. وطبعا في أول يوم حصلت هناك بعض الأمور وصبر الجميع على ذلك، نسأل الله أن يجعل كل هذا في ميزان حسنات الجميع.
آمين.
وما بقي حقيقة شيء أضيفه على هذه النصائح الطيبة المباركة بإذن الله، فما بقي إلا أن أجلي شيئا نردده كثيرا ولكننا لا نفهم معناه، أو أقول لا نتصوره تصورا كاملا. فحديثي إن شاء الله أو هذه الكلمة أحاول فيها أن أجلي حقيقة ما دعيتم إليه، وما كان شيخنا الألباني رحمه الله تعالى دائما يردده في كلمتين: التصفية والتربية. تقريبا كلنا نحفظ هاتين الكلمتين ونرددهما كثيرا، لكننا لا نتصور معناهما تصورا كاملا. منا من يتصوره تصورا قريبا من الكمال، ومنا من يتصوره تصورا أقل، ومنا من يتصوره تصورا ضعيفا، ومنا من قد يردده وهو لا يفهم معناه فيقول أنا سلفي والتصفية والتربية، لكن لا يعرف معنى هاتين الكلمتين العظيمتين اللتين جمع فيهما هذا العالم البحر الحبر رحمه الله هذا المنهج العظيم في هاتين الكلمتين. وأقول لكم بصراحة إن هناك من يقول لنا لا تكلموا الحاضرين في هذه الأمور، إن الناس لا يفهمون هذه المسائل، ثم يتهمون علماء هذه الدعوة المباركة بأنهم لا يفهمون الواقع، ينفرون عن علماء هذه الدعوة فيقولون أنتم لا تفهمون الواقع. ونحن وأنتم تعلمون أنهم جميعا الآن في الدنيا يرددون أن العالم أصبح كالقرية الواحدة، ما يحصل في شرقها يعرفه من يعيش في غرب هذه الدنيا، وما يحصل في غربها يعرفه من يعيش في شرقها، بل والله إن بعض الأحداث تقع في بلادنا أنتم تعرفونها قبلنا. فعندما يقال لكم أنتم هذه مسائل ما تفهمونها، هذه الأمور لا يعني داعي لأن تكلموا الناس فيها، والله إنه من باب التنفير عن الحق. بل وصل التنفير، وأحدثكم بقصة طريفة عجيبة مضحكة ومبكية في آن واحد، من هذه التهم التي تنتشر حول القائمين بهذه الدعوة. مصري يعيش في هذه البلاد جاء من مسافات طويلة جدا بسيارته ووصل إلى هنا، يحدثني بعض الحاضرين، فلما رأى اسمي في المحاضرين أخذ سيارته ورجع، قال أنا ما أستمع له في مصر أستمع له هنا، ورجع كل هذه المسافة مرة أخرى. مسكين صدق هذه الدعاوى، هؤلاء كذا هؤلاء كذا هؤلاء كذا، فأصبح علماؤنا ومشايخنا يتهمون بتهم عجيبة، كما اتهموا قديما نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنه ساحر وبأنه كذاب وبأنه مجنون وبأنه يريدون تنفير الناس عن اسمع ماذا يقول اسمع ماذا يقول. دروسي التي هي النصيحة والتي بلغت بفضل الله 111 شريطا، وأظن أن 80 منها موجود الآن، ما وجدوا شيئا ينفرون به عن هذه الدروس إلا أنهم قالوا هذه اسمها دروس الفضيحة، أي ألقاب منفرة، المهم أنهم ينفرون الناس عن قبول الحق. استمع يا أخي، ربنا أعطاك أذنا وأعطاك عقلا، استمع ماذا يقال. لكن هكذا والله بعض هؤلاء الذين ينفرون عنا ما سمعوا منا حرفا ولا شيئا البتة، هكذا يردد كلاما كالببغاء، يقال له هؤلاء عملاء فيقول هؤلاء عملاء، يقال له هؤلاء لا يفهمون الواقع هؤلاء لا يفهمون الواقع. لا والله إنكم والحمد لله تفهمون ما يدور حولكم في الدنيا، ومن من المسلمين لا يعيش ما يسمونه بقضايا الأمة المصيرية؟ من منكم لا يعيشها؟ ومن منكم لا يسمعها ليل نهار حتى مللنا من كثرة السماع؟ فالآن يحلو لي أن أضرب مثلا، لعلي أضربه في مناسبات كثيرة يقرب هذه الدعوة ويوضحها وما معنى التصفية والتربية. فمثل أمة الإسلام اليوم فيما يتنازعها من الآلام وفيما يقع في نفوس أهلها من الآمال كمثل قوم يعيشون في واد، كمثل قوم يعيشون في واد، هذا الوادي تحيط به الجبال من كل جانب، وينحدر إليهم من رأس ذلك الوادي نهر، تنزل الأمطار والأمطار تأتي من أعلى وجاءت الأمطار
ما شاء الله سبحان الله وتحركت الأشجار سبحان الله العظيم،
فتنزل الأمطار من أعلى اللهم صيبا نافعا، تنزل الأمطار على هذه الجبال ثم تتجمع حتى تصير سيلا جاريا ونهرا عذبا فراتا، وأصبح أهل هذا الوادي يتجمعون حول هذا النهر لأنه سبب حياتهم وبقائهم، ويحمونه ويحافظون عليه، فإذا رأوا أحدهم يلقي فيه شيئا من القذر ضربوا على يديه قالوا هذا سبب حياتنا، لا تلوثه، لا تلقي قذرا في هذا النهر، إنه سبب حياتنا في هذا المكان وسبب صحتنا وسبب عافيتنا، فمنه نشرب ماء عذبا زلالا نقيا صافيا، ومنه نزرع ونأكل من هذا الزرع الذي نزرعه، ومنه نسقي حيواتنا حيواناتنا وأنعامنا، ومنها نأكل اللحم ونأخذ اللبن، فهذا النهر سبب حياتنا وصحتنا وبقائنا. فكلما رأوا أحدا يفكر فقط أن يلقي قذرا في هذا النهر ينهونه أشد النهي ويحذرونه أشد التحذير، بل ويحذرون الناس من أنه يمكن أن يفعل ذلك، احذروا هذا يمكن أن يلوث نهركم، هذا يمكن أن يكون سببا في ذهاب ما أنتم فيه من قوة وصحة وعافية. فبقوا يحذرون من تقذير هذا النهر ومن تلويثه، ومرت الأيام والسنون والقرون وتطاول بهم العهد، فكان الواحد منهم يلقي شيئا من القذر، وتهاونوا في النهي وتهاونوا في التحذير، فألقى الأول ثم ألقى الثاني ثم ألقى الثالث، حتى انتهى بهم الأمر إلى أنهم أصبحوا إلا من رحم الله منهم يلقون في هذا النهر الجيف ودماء الحائض والقذر والنتن، ومع ذلك هم يشربون منه ويسقون منه زروعهم وحيواناتهم ومواشيهم، فمرضوا وضعفوا. كان أجدادهم أقوياء أصحاء، فكان أعداؤهم من حول هذا الوادي يخافون منهم ويرهبونهم ويعملون لهم ألف حساب، فلما ضعفوا وتمكن منهم الوهن وانتشرت فيهم الأمراض تجرأ عليهم عدوهم وانتهك حرماتهم واستذلهم، بعد أن كان أجدادهم أعزة أقوياء أصحاء. فانقسم الناس في هذا الوادي ثلاثة أقسام، قسم قال
إن مشكلتنا هم هؤلاء الأعداء الذين استذلونا، فلنبدأ بهم، هم الذين تسببوا في كذا وكذا وكذا، علينا أن نتحد وأن نجتمع لنواجه هؤلاء الأعداء. وهذه هي قضيتنا المهمة وقضيتنا المصيرية، لا ينبغي أن نهتم الآن إلا بأعدائنا. وقسم ثاني قالوا لا لا لا، هذه المشكلة، المشكلة أننا مرضى، كيف نواجه الأعداء ونحن مرضى؟ لنبدأ بعلاج الأمراض أولا، علينا أن نكثف جهودنا للإتيان بالأدوية والعلاجات واستيراد الأطباء والعقاقير التي نعالج بها من هذه الأمراض، فعلينا أن نبدأ بعلاج أمراضنا أولا وقبل كل شيء. فالأمة مريضة، لا بد أن نعالجها ولا بد أن نسعى في شفائها، وهذا واجب يتحتم علينا، فلنكثف جهودنا الآن في علاج الأمراض. والقسم الثالث كانوا من شيوخ القوم وعقلائهم، قالوا إن المصيبة في تلويثنا لهذا النهر، فلا بد أن نصفيه وننقيه، فإننا نشرب منه، كيف تشربون من نهر ملوث ثم تقولون نعالج الأمراض ونواجه الأعداء؟ ابدأوا بإزالة السبب الذي أضعفكم وأوهمكم وجعل عدوكم يتجرأ عليكم، إنكم إذا صفيتم هذا النهر ومنعتم من إلقاء القذر والوسخ فيه ثم شربتم منه، ستعود إليكم قوتكم وعافيتكم وصحتكم كما كان أجدادكم، وعندها والله إن عدوكم يرهبكم من جديد كما كان يرهب أجدادكم تماما. إن مصيبتكم في تلويثكم لهذا النهر، وحتى ذلك الحين نحن لن نشرب من هذا النهر، فسنتعب قليلا وسنصعد إلى رأس الوادي لنشرب من نبعه الصافي، سنشرب من النبع من رأس الجبل لأنه صافي نقي لم تلوثه أيديكم بعد، سنعود إلى ما كان عليه السلف الصالح، سنعود إلى ما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، فإنهم شربوا من النهر قبل أن يتلوث. فصحوا وكانوا يأخذون على أيدي أهل البدع والخرافات الذين يريدون تلويث هذا النهر، فكانوا يحذرون من المبتدع، يحذرون من أهل الهوى الذين يريدون تلويث نهر الإسلام الصافي النقي، فأصبح الإسلام عندكم مخلوطا بغيره، تشربون من نهر تلوث بالشركيات وتلوث بالخرافات وتلوث بالبدع والضلالات، ثم تقولون ما بال أعدائنا تجرأ علينا، ثم تقولون ما بال الأمراض تمكنت من أجسامنا. ليس الحل أن نهتم بأعدائنا الآن، فأعداؤنا إذا واجهناهم سيستبيحون بيضتنا وسيهلكوننا عن بكرة أبينا، فلا قوة لنا أن نواجههم الآن. وهذه الأمراض التي نعالجها لا فائدة من هذه الجهود التي تبذلونها في علاج المرض والسبب ما زال موجودا، فما فائدة هذه الأموال التي تنفق وما فائدة هذه الجهود التي تبذل والسبب موجود؟ إنكم تشربون من نهر ملوث، ليس هذا هو الإسلام، ليس هذا هو الإسلام. لوثتموه وأدخلتم فيه ما ليس منه وألقيتم فيه ما ليس منه، فعودوا إلى صفائه الأول ونقائه الأول، ثم اشربوا من مائه العذب الصافي، تربوا على الإسلام المصفى، تربوا على الإسلام المصفى المنقى، وعندها ستعود إليكم قوتكم كما كانت قوة أبائكم، وسيعود إليكم عزكم كما كان عز آبائكم وأجدادكم. التصفية والتربية. أقول قولي هذا
وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
وإياكم حفظكم الله.
The brother Hamad is from Nottingham, or Israr from Birmingham. I need to see the matter. Al-Qusi, حفظه الله تعالى إخواني, went on to say that in actuality, my brother, the Sheikh Abu Usama, has really benefited and did a good job in the comment that he made when he talked about the brothers being distracted and disrespectful. And he asked Allah Ta'ala to bless him for his effort. And then after that, he also said that his brother, the Sheikh Abu Anas, Hamid Musa Al Nasr, Hafizullah, also did a good job with what he did. So Allah blessed both of them to give us the istifada in their hadith and what both of them said. And he said, I wanted to also make mention of the fact that we recognize that our brothers have come from places far and wide. We have brothers who have come from places that are other than this country, from outside of this country, and there are many. And he said, in the beginning of the conference, when it first jumped off, there were some problems, no doubt, that we had experienced, all of us. But people were patient and they handled the mashaqqa, or the difficulty, of those first days when things were trying to be set in motion. He said we were patient and inshallah ta'ala we'll get our reward. So really, I don't have anything to add on to what was said already, other than I want to make clear an issue. I want to make clear an issue that we mention a lot and we don't understand it. And then he turned back and he said, or we don't understand it completely and totally and properly. He said, in reality, ikhwan, haqiqatan, what we are calling to, and this thing that we hear one of the greatest scholars of recent time always saying, and that was Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, when he used to talk about at-tasfiyah wa-tarbiyah, at-tasfiyah wa-tarbiyah, purifying, at-tasfiyah, purifying what is not from the religion, purifying the deen, making it how it used to be, and the tarbiyah, raising the people or the ummah upon this deen. The Shaykh used to say this all the time, and we also say it, and we hear it coming from people all the time. But in actuality, we don't really have the complete tasawwur, or the complete understanding, the proper understanding, and we don't conceptualize the reality of this concept as it ought to be understood. There are some of us who are close to having the complete understanding, and there are others who are in the middle. They're on the way, but they're in the middle. And then there are those who are at the beginning. They have a very vague understanding. And then there are those who don't have any understanding about it whatsoever. And the proof of that is, listen and look. Listen to what people are saying and look at how they're behaving. So the person may say, I'm Salafi. And he doesn't really know the reality of that claim, the true reality of it. I say to you openly, without biting my tongue, straightforward. I'm going to be straightforward with you. There are people who have spoken, and they continue to speak as recently as this conference, who tell us, don't talk to the brothers about these issues. Don't talk when you come here about these issues that you're talking about, because they make the tanfir of the people. They make the people go away, push the people away, make them run away, not want to listen. And they say, you people really don't understand the waqi', the reality, the current event, the current situation of the lives of the people. You're not really clued up as to what the people really need. You nor the scholars. The Sheikh said, but this is a lie, and it's a sad situation, because really we see that today in the world, in this world that we live in today, the world has become a global village, he said. If something happens in the east, right after it happening, the people in the west have information concerning it. And if something happens in the west, right after it happens in the east, the people come to know about it. And in some instances, like what happens in my country in Egypt, something can happen in the heart of Egypt that we, the Egyptians, don't even know about, and you people know about it. So the earth has become a global village, and people's affairs are well known, and the condition of the people and what they're living and facing is well known. So these people make this claim about, you don't understand and you don't know the condition of the people and how they're living. They make this claim only to push the people away, to frighten the people, to make the people not want to come to listen. He said, I want to tell you a story that just happened. It is a story that is funny and sad simultaneously. And that is, I heard that there was an Egyptian man who lives here. He heard about the conference, and he came to the conference from a far, far, far away. He went through the difficulty of traveling, and he spent his money, and he came to the conference. When he arrived at the conference, and he saw my name as one of the participants on the panel of discussion from the shuyukh who are going to be here, he turned around and he left. And upon leaving, he said, I don't listen to him in Egypt, I'm not going to listen to him here. The Sheikh said, in actuality, what has happened is that man had heard, he heard people talking about me. And the issue here, Ikhwan, is not about the Sheikh, it's about the dawah of the Sheikh. That man heard people talking about me, and as a result of that, he was affected by that. He hasn't heard me yet, but he heard the people talking about me. And this is similar to what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people of Quraysh said that the Messenger of Allah was Majnoon, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a jinn, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a sha'ir, or he was a poet, that he made all of these claims concerning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But did anyone take the time out to come and use his intellect to listen and make a decision for himself? Sheikh said, this is a sad case. I have over 111 tapes that I gave a class in the affair of what this person has a problem with, what the people talked about him concerning these issues, in which the Sheikh warns the people and he clarifies the truth. From those tapes, 80 of the tapes are present. They are even here. We have them here. We have them in America. He said that these lessons are available. This man, why wouldn't he just come to listen for himself, to use his ears, to use his intellect, and then make an intelligent decision based upon what he heard? The Sheikh said, the people warned him and others against this dawah, and warned them against the ulama, and warned these people against the people who give dawah. In reality, this man has not heard one harf, one letter, one of the alphabet of my statement. But all he is similar to a babagha. A babagha is a parrot. He hears something and he parrots it out from what the person says. What did he hear and what did he parrot? He said, the Sheikh said that the man heard, oh, those people are workers for someone, like a government or something like that. These people are just working for people. They don't understand the current affairs. So as a result of that, after hearing that, that's all he's doing is he's repeating what he heard. He went on to say, who from amongst us doesn't know about the problems that are facing the Muslims, that are facing the Ummah? Everyone knows about the problems. There's not anyone who doesn't know what's going on with the current events and the current affairs. So what I want to do now is, I want to give an example, I want to give a method, a similar to a story, and I give this story to make the taqreeb, to make your understanding come close, to give you a clear living picture of the true meaning of at-tasfiyah wa-tarbiyah. How do you understand this? Purifying, the purification of the religion, and what's supposed to be the religion, and at-tarbiyah, growing up, being raised, and applying what Islam is telling you to apply in the religion. He said, the Sheikh went on to say, when we look, when we look at the situation of the religion today, of the dawah today, we see the Muslims suffering tremendously from all kinds of pain from every direction. Persecution, subjugation, the loss of their wealth, problems that are compounded by other problems that are complicated and complex. The oppression, so many issues. He went on to say, Ikhwan, so I'll give you the example of the reality of at-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah by telling you the story of a group of people who used to live in a wadi. They used to live in a valley. They used to live in a valley. Surrounding the valley, which is low in the earth, it's not elevated, it's down, it's a wadi, low. And either side of the valley, there are mountains all around. And Allah used to send the rain down to them. The rain would come down. And as soon as the Sheikh said the rain would come down, right at that point, the rain started to come down. So he made the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make it a rain that is beneficial. And then the Sheikh Abu Anas said, inshallah, it's the rain of the barakah of the Salafiyah. So he said that the rain would come down, and the rain would hit the top of the mountains, and from there the rain on all of these mountains would start to come, and it would gather together, and it would make a stream, and the stream would go through the very middle of where they lived at. From this stream, that was from the pure rain that came down off of the mountain, was the water that is hard to describe in English, but is adbun furat, which means sweet, succulent water. It's not just that water you drink out of the faucets here in this country. It's that water that is sweet. I mean, you notice it's water. They were drinking from this water. The people used to gather together and they would drink from the water, and they will benefit from the water. And they understood from amongst themselves that their life, their living, their hayat, it came by Allah's permission through that water. In the water was their life. So if someone ever threw something in the water, if they witnessed anyone throwing something in the water, they would all collectively deal with that individual, because it was the water in which they drank from. And it was the water in which they took it to plant their vegetation. And it was the water in which they took to give to their animals. It was the water in which their children drank from. The Sheikh said that these people were so serious about preserving the purity and the cleanliness of the water and the sanctity of the water, that if they came to find out that someone was even thinking about throwing something in the water, They came to deal with that individual. It wasn't even possible for someone to contemplate throwing something in the water. He said that the days went by, and they turned into months, and they turned into years, and they turned into a century, and then the people changed. After that, Ikhwan, there came a person who threw something in the water. And the people were mutahawinun. The people were lackadaisical. When they witnessed that person threw something in the water, they were very lax and laid back as it related to making, preventing him and prohibiting him. When the people witnessed that there was no retribution for doing that, the second person threw something in the water. And then the third person threw something in the water. And then the fourth person introduced a foreign object into the water. And then someone went as far as to take a dead corpse, and he threw that into the water. And then everyone started throwing things in the water, and they began to try to outdo each other in polluting the water. There were those who threw things with the blood of the women's menses. They were just throwing stuff in the water. As they were doing that, at the same time, they were still drinking from the water. They were still planting with the water. They were still giving the water to their animals. So they needed the water. The enemies used to fear them, and they wouldn't dare think about having an engagement or a war with these people. But when the enemy saw that they became weak in their bodies, and their condition was no longer a condition or a position of strength, they went and they fought them. When the enemy fought them, the enemy got the upper hand. When they sat to rectify their problem and to think about how to get out of the problem, they were divided into three different groups. The first group of people were those people who said, our problems that we are suffering from right now come as a result of our enemies. Our enemies are the problem. These people have come and they have overpowered us, and they've taken our land. They're the problem. So therefore, we need to unite, and we need to become a united front so that we can make an assault against them, so that we can stop this onslaught of what we're receiving. This is the most important thing for us. And then the second group said, nah, that's not the issue. The problem is that we are people who are sick. Our bodies are suffering. We have sicknesses. He said, and you all know that this ummah suffers from a number of sicknesses. So they said, what we need to do is, we need to look for the appropriate medication so that we can seek the mu'alaja, so that we can cure ourselves, look for a cure that is appropriate for our sicknesses. The third group of people, there were some people who were from the shiyukh of the people, the uqala, the elder, intelligent thinkers of the community. They said, this catastrophe and this calamity that has befallen you people, it comes as a result of you polluting your water, your source. Once you begin to pollute the source from which you have strength, you suffer. You're throwing things in the water, and you're continuously polluting the water, and you're not giving the water its right, and as a result of that, you are suffering. He said that those people told them, if you want to return to your former position of supremacy and power, then what you have to do is, you have to stop polluting the water. And your enemies will become afraid of you before you even deal with them. And will be able to beat them. So it's going to be difficult, because there's a time of purification for us. We have to stop polluting the water. So the water is going to be polluted for a minute, and we just have to be patient and deal with that. But as we begin to get stronger, this water that is polluted right here,
The time will come, the point will come, where we won't even have to drink directly from here anymore. We'll have the ability and the strength to go up to the top of the mountain, and we'll be able to drink directly from the pure water. But that's only after we're patient at the beginning with drinking from here. But we have to stop polluting the water. So let us go back to the original source from where our salaf used to drink. And at that point, the Sheikh switched the whole concept and the whole idea from the story to the reality of the condition of the companions, رضي الله عنه. And he said, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank directly from the well itself, from the source. And as a result of that, they were successful. And the people from the Salaf, when they were drinking from that source, which was pure, uncontaminated, they used to warn against anyone who would come and who tried to pollute it. And they just didn't warn, but they would physically take the hand of the person who tried to pollute the original well and the pure water. And they did everything that was in their power to prevent the pollution of the water, and they did their job and they were successful. So now the people come and they threw into the religion, and they threw into the pure well that they took from the Khurafat. Khurafat is this crazy statements and beliefs that people have. They threw it to an innovation, and now the people of the Ummah, they have the nerve to say, why are we subjugated to this oppression? How is the enemy allowed to do this and to do that? Where has the power of the Muslims gone? It's because the people have polluted the water. Now it is upon a group of people for that man who came and left to understand that there has to be a group of people to warn, to try to preserve the original water, that is from the religion. So this is my advice to these people who warn the people and tell us we shouldn't talk to the people about these issues. There is no benefit, ikhwan, from the ummah until we clean up our act, until we clean up the reservoir that contains the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. The people have thrown into the deen what is not from the religion, and as a result of that, they are suffering. So if we want to return to the quwwa and the izzah, the power and the might, the respect, the majesty, if we want to return and regain our former place of supremacy that we found our grandfathers upon, then clearly and obviously we have to return to the way of taking directly from the original unpolluted source. And the Sheikh went on to make a series of dua and supplications for us.